The city of Corinth, which lay where east and west met on the crossroads of the Greco-Roman world, was notorious for its orgies and unbridled immorality. On the Acropolis, known as the Acro-Corinth, rose a vast pagan temple which dominated the city. This was the place of worship of the city's patroness, the goddess of love, Aphrodite for the Greeks and Venus for the Romans. In these precincts, great numbers of religious prostitutes awaited pilgrims coming from all parts of the Roman Empire. The temple had made the city into a resort for every kind of self-indulgence and debauchery. A verb, to Corinthianize, had been coined to express this immoral and undisciplined way of life. It was therefore with much anxiety and great sorrow that the apostle heard of what the believers in Corinth were tolerating in the Church of Christ. There were lawsuits and divisions among believers, sexual immorality, even a case of incest, disorderly church meetings, and the sacred institution of the Lord's Supper was celebrated in a totally unworthy manner. Paul calls upon the church to take energetic disciplinary action. He reminds them of how this holy ordinance was to be celebrated. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you," he says, "that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Then the apostle adds a solemn warning against those who dishonor the sacred ordinance. "Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup in an unworthy manner is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord, and brings judgment on himself." In this letter, Paul reminds the Corinthian believers what the life of some of them had been before they came to Christ, how they had been converted from the lowest and most dissolute form of paganism to serve the living God, having been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. "Do you not know," he says, "that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore honor God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The human body would then become, as the apostle puts it, a living image of unity in Christ. Unity with diversity, yet perfect harmony. "The body is one," says Paul, "though it is made up of many parts. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. It is God who places the members in the body according to his purpose, giving to each part its proper function. Every member belongs to the body, and each has its own function." "If the whole body were an eye," says Paul, "where would the sense of hearing be? Or if it were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? So each member has need of the others. The eye cannot say to the hand, or the hand to the feet, 'I don't need you.' Rather, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker or are less honorable are treated with special care, and every part should have equal concern for the others. If one member suffers, every member suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Paul explains that all have the same Lord and the same Spirit, but each has a different function. Thus, in the church, the body of Christ, God has given important ministries to some, and to others various kinds of service and different spiritual gifts, all of which are the work of one and the same Spirit, who gives to each man as he determines. "Eagerly desire the greater gifts," Paul urges, "but best of all is the following way. If I speak the languages of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Being able to fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and having faith that can move mountains, is nothing without love. I may give away everything I have, and even give up my body to be burnt. But if I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous, conceited, or irritable. It is not selfish or ill-mannered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal, while the gifts of knowledge and prophecy will one day no longer be needed. For now we see dimly as in a mirror. We know only in part, but then we shall know fully, even as we are known. Meanwhile, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Next episode, 1 Corinthians continued, the resurrection of the dead.